Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're enjoying your lunch. Welcome to the FCC. My name is Tara Joseph. I'm vice president of the club this year, and I'm delighted to introduce our guest speaker today. Just before we get started, please could you make sure you switch your mobile phones to silent, as we have plenty of media here today recording today's session. And this is usually the time where we give an update on upcoming events, but with Chinese New Year coming up very soon, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we have plenty of events coming up in the month of February, so please do check the website and your email. Now, today, our topic, the MTR and trains and transport. We've had the through train to China when it comes to the stock market. I won't get into those details today because anything about stocks will get quite depressing. But now we have a pending deal about a through train, a real through train, to China with the Guangzhou Express Link. And some people are wondering, is it worth spending billions of dollars to go ahead and complete that link, putting MTR front and center in the news? So it'll be interesting to hear about that. Lincoln Leung has been the chief executive officer of MTR for almost a year now. He's been with the company for about 14 years, serving for a very long time as finance director. I did ask Lincoln whether he takes the MTR, and of course he gave a big affirmative yes. And we also decided at lunch that journalists and transport executives have two things very much similarities in that we like to do things on time. So with that in mind, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Leung, and we will have time for questions and answers afterwards. Lincoln Leung.
No, Tara, thank you very much for that very kind introduction, and good afternoon, everyone. Once again, you know, thank you and thank the FCC for inviting us this afternoon. My short answer to the question that Tara posed, which is it worth completing the express rail link, is a definitive yes. But we can talk more about that as we go through the presentation and any questions that you may have. What I'd like to do is to talk more wide-ranging about MTR going forward, not just limited to the Express Rail Link. RailGen 2.0, that sounds like a piece of software. In fact, it's not. It is how we see MTR going forward in the next 5 to 8 years. It incorporates a number of things. We're building 4 new rail lines right now, of which the Express Rail Link is one of them. These rail lines would open between now, well, this year, and 2021. But beyond just the 4 new rail lines that we're building, and these 4 lines, by the way, adds about 52 kilometers to our current route network of about 225 kilometers. Beyond these 4 new rail lines, we're doing a lot of work in enhancing and upgrading our existing network. We are putting in new signaling system across our existing network. We just put out a $6 billion contract last year to upgrade many of our existing lines. We're buying new trains. We're putting in new equipment in our stations. We're spending billions, tens of billions of dollars in upgrading and enhancing our network to give our passengers, our customers, not just better service, not just more frequent service, but an even better environment. And beyond that, we are trying to leverage off what we have in terms of our training of our existing colleagues and extend that to others in Hong Kong and beyond Hong Kong, what we call the MTR Academy that was kindly mentioned by the chief executive in his policy speech. What I'd like to do is to talk about each one of those 3 buckets. Before I do that, just to talk about where we've come from and sort of how we got here. With your support, with the support of people in Hong Kong, MTR, your metro network, really has grown by leaps and bounds in the last decade. If you look back 2005 compared to 2015. Passenger volume for MTR, that's gone up 2.3 times. Now, a word of caution here. In 2005, that was before the days of the merger of KCRC, so it's not an exact apple-for-apple comparison. But I'll give you another statistic, which is even over the last six or seven years, since the merger of KCRC, our passenger volumes have gone up about 30%. That is very significant by any public transport statistic. Train trips have gone up. The route kilometer that we're running have gone up significantly, once again, as a result of the merger, but also beyond the merger. But importantly is what we highlight at the bottom of that page, which is the service delivery that we are providing to our customers here in Hong Kong. 99.9%. Now you say, what does that mean? You know, why isn't it 100%? 99.9% generally means for us that a commuter, someone who travels to and from work every day, would encounter at most a 1 5-minute delay every 3 years of commuting. This would be one of the best records in the world. We continue to maintain that despite the fact that our passenger numbers have gone up 30% in the last 7 or 8 years. And even with that 99.9%, if one looks at last year, at 2015, in fact, 2015, in terms of our service delivery, was one of our best years ever. If you look at that statistic right at the bottom of the page, for the whole year, this is the whole year of 2015, and we run 8,000 train trips every day, so multiply that by roughly 365 days a year. 8,000 train trips a day multiplied by 365 days a year. In terms of delays, which lasted 30 minutes, 31 minutes or longer, there were 8 such delays. Yes, we're trying to continue to minimize that, but unfortunately, at the end of the day, these are mechanical, electrical systems and equipment. No matter how you maintain them, they're always going to be, unfortunately, that occasional failure. For us, the important thing is when there is that failure, how do we minimize delays and minimize inconvenience to our customers? How can we recover better? How can we get more and better information to our customers? Last year, 2015, if one looks at a number of months last year, in terms of on-time delivery, we had our best April, I think we had our best June, July, August, and December. There were 5 months last year when we had our best performance ever in those months. Our network today, I'm sure many of you will recognize this, it's roughly 225 kilometers of heavy rail and light rail. The heavy rail routing is roughly 180, 185 kilometers, and the light rail roughly the balance of that 40 kilometers. Quite an extensive network. But the interesting and the exciting part is going beyond. RailGen 2.0. RailGen 2.0 would deliver, in addition to our existing 225 kilometers, another 4 new rail lines. This year, according to our timetable, and we're still working in accordance with that timetable, we're looking to deliver the Kwun Tong Line extension that would bring MTR services to Ho Man Tin and Wan Pao. At the end of this year, we're looking to open our South Island Line East section into the southern side of Hong Kong Island. That would connect Admiralty with Ocean Park and with Apley Chow. The trip from Admiralty to Ocean Park would be 4 minutes. Imagine the convenience for people living on the south side of Hong Kong Island. Now, of course, there are construction challenges that still needs to be overcome, so therefore we are working in accordance with a target timetable, but it would be exciting when these lines are built. Beyond the Kwun Tong Line extension and beyond the South Island Line East, there is the Express Rail Link. And I'm sure there'll be many questions on the Express Rail Link. Happy to take those questions. Our timetable would be to open that in the third quarter of 2018. And as you are all aware, there is a lot of debate going on right now through LegCo on the funding of that cost overrun. And beyond the Express Rail Link, the Sha Tin Central Link. The Sha Tin Central Link is an exciting extension for us. It comes really in two segments. There is a so-called East-West segment. The East-West segment connects West Rail to Ma On Shan. So in the future, you can go all the way from Ma On Shan to Chin Mun in one go. The North-South segment of the Sha Tin Central Link connects East Rail going under the harbor into Admiralty. So in the future, you can catch a train from Admiralty all the way to the border with Sanjiang, to Lok Ma Chau, etc. Between now and 2021, these lines will open. It will add another 50-odd kilometers of new tracks to our network here, serve a much enlarged catchment, and add more convenience to all our customers here in Hong Kong. We find that to be one of the most exciting aspects of our RailGen 2.0. Touch on the Express Rail Link. I think everyone is quite familiar with this. I mentioned that our timetable right now is third quarter of 2018. As you're all aware, last year we handed a number of reports to government. At the end of last year, we reached a conditional agreement with government that on the costs and how that cost overrun would be dealt with. As you, I'm sure you all well know, the latest cost estimate is in Hong Kong dollars, 84.42 billion, and government would be seeking LegCo approval to fund up to that, with MTR taking any cost overrun, if any, beyond the 84.42 billion. The project has encountered a number of difficulties. I know many of you are asking, well, the original timetable was August 2015. Now you're talking about third quarter of 2018. That's a three-year delay. How did that happen? Looking back, you can, and all the investigations we've done would point to three root causes. One, a shortage of labor. The shortage of labor is something that unfortunately impacts the whole construction industry in Hong Kong, not just MTR. It impacts construction of residential buildings. It impacts other infrastructure works. Secondly, there were very difficult ground conditions. Despite all the ground investigations that were done prior to work starting, the difficult ground conditions encountered led to further delays. And also with underground construction, a third significant difficulty would be the complex utilities that had to be diverted when we're building under those utilities. So three key root causes for the delays that have been encountered. However, very pleased to say that work has progressed in accordance with our adjusted timetable. The project at the end of December was about 76% complete. The tunnels, two 26-kilometer tunnels from West Kowloon all the way to the border in Sanjiang, both tunnels have been tunneled through. That happened on the 12th of December. So all the difficult tunnel excavation would be behind us. That's all completed. There is one very, very large terminal station for the Express Rail Link. That, as we all know, is in West Kowloon. Every time you drive by there, you see this humongous hole. That, in the future, would be one of the largest underground high-speed rail stations in the world. It is 30 meters, close to 100 feet deep, four stories. It is close to 4 million square feet of construction underground. That is what's being built in West Kowloon. To build that, and to go 30 meters deep, obviously, excavation of that site is important. We have encountered difficulties before in that excavation. Very pleased to say that that excavation now is 96, 97% done. So most of the difficult excavation works, be that for the tunnels or be that for the terminal, is behind us. Now it is completing the construction of the structure, as well as the electrical, mechanical, tunnel lining works, etc. So overall, we are 76% complete on that particular project. But moving away from just the four new rail projects, and once again, this RailGen 2.0 is not just the new rail extensions, but all the work that we're doing on our and in our existing network to improve services and comfort for our passengers. We are putting in new signaling, a $3.3 billion contract that was tendered out about a year ago. New trains, 93 new trains, particularly on our urban lines. That's $6 billion of capital expenditure. That would increase capacity on our existing lines, as well as make our customers and our passengers' journeys even more comfortable. Every year, we at MTR spend $6 billion and more just in maintaining and upgrading our network. These contracts, the resignaling, the new trains, would be part of that $6 billion and more that we spend every year. It is a large sum of money. To finance that $6 billion a year, we have, as you well know, a stable source of income from both our transport business as well as our non-transport businesses. That's our shopping center rental, that's our rental shops and stations and advertising. In our transport business, a core part of that is what we call the fare adjustment mechanism. This is a transparent mechanism. It is based on CPI, wage index, lesser productivity factor, high degree of transparency, and applied automatically once it's calculated. That mechanism and having a transparent and predictable mechanism allows us to spend that $6 billion every year in maintaining and upgrading our network. I talked a lot about our rail network in Hong Kong and about RailGen 2.0. What I'd like to do is just to touch on some of the things that we're doing outside of Hong Kong. Hong Kong's our home. We're very proud of what we've achieved here in Hong Kong. But MTR, over the last 10, 12 years, we've been expanding slowly outside of Hong Kong. Today, we run rail networks, rail lines in the mainland of China, in Beijing, in Hangzhou, in Shenzhen. We run the metro network in Melbourne. We run the metro network in Stockholm, in Sweden. We run Crossrail in the UK. And we have a joint venture that runs London Overground, which is like a circular rail line around London. Beyond that, we have a new rail extension development, a PPP, in Sydney, in Australia. And we have property development in both Shenzhen as well as in Tianjin. So we are slowly leveraging off what we've learned here in Hong Kong into the mainland of China and international arena. But at the end of the day, the most important thing to bear in mind is Hong Kong is our home. Hong Kong is our most important market. Those rail networks, those rail lines outside of Hong Kong have also, we've been very honored to receive a number of awards, be that in Stockholm, be that in Australia, or be that in London. In fact, our businesses in London have been given the accolade of Rail Operator of the Year last year. This was London Overground. And of course, RailGen 2.0 also involves the 16,000 employees, colleagues that we have here in Hong Kong, and the 19,000 colleagues that we have outside of Hong Kong. People, not surprisingly, our colleagues are our most important assets. They are the people who maintain and enhance that safe, efficient service that we all enjoy every day. We're trying to leverage off what we have today, leverage off our training abilities, our training activities, leverage that into something that could be given a wider audience here in Hong Kong and ultimately beyond Hong Kong, and perhaps help countries along the One Belt, One Road routes as they develop their infrastructure and their rail infrastructure. Early days, the MTR Academy, something that is has just started, it's very early days, conceptual. We'll be turning that from concept into reality very shortly. Beyond our assets, beyond our people, how does MTR also connect with the community at large? We've done a lot of work in our corporate social responsibility area, and one of the focus of that area is in the younger generation. We started off with our Youth Connect, and that has now led to what we call a Youth Forum, where we bring in younger generations to give us their views on how we can do better, how we can improve. In fact, the name RailGen 2.0 was one of the result of a discussion in one of those forums. Friends for Life Journey is how we at MTR and our colleagues try our best to contribute to society. We work with NGOs, we work with people in need, be that the elderly, be that the youngsters, and these are volunteers from MTR. They are volunteering their time to work with those who are perhaps more in need in the community here in Hong Kong. We very much support them by giving them resources to support the work that they're doing for these NGOs. So with that, conclude my presentation. RailGen 2.0, something that we at MTR are extremely excited about. We hope to, over the next 5-6 years, between now and in the early 2020s, deliver for you, our customers, an even better, even more enhanced, and even more extensive network. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'd like to open it up for Q&A, but if I may, I'd like to ask the first question, if that's okay. I'm fascinated by all the data that you've brought us today in terms of your customers and links and people taking the MTR. When it comes to the Guangzhou Rail Link, have you done data studies as to who you expect the passengers to be and whether that flow is expected to be more Hong Kong into mainland or mainland passengers coming through? What sort of expectations for numbers and types of community do you have for that link?
Tara, at this time, we, for the Express Rail Link, we are the project manager. The operation rights have still not been given to MTR. In fact, government hasn't decided which way they want to go. So at this time, our focus is to deliver the physical construction part of the Express Rail Link, and that's really what we're focused on right now.
But no estimates at all?
I think government, you're actually right, government have put out their estimates of passenger numbers, and I think this is well highlighted in the papers that they have given to LegCo previously.
Thank you. Please raise your hand and we'll bring a microphone around to you. Please give us your name and organization if you are with one. We'll start over here.
Hi, Ms. Liang. We do China News Asia. The World Bank says it costs China $20 million to build 1 kilometer of high-speed rail. California's budget is $56 million. I did a quick calculation. Without taking out the cost of the terminal, it costs Hong Kong $416 million. Why is it so expensive here? Do you actually have that figure? What's the cost per kilometer?
Well, I think if you were to just take the total, and this includes, one includes the station, you can just take the $84.42 billion. If you want to convert that into US dollars, that would be somewhere around $11 billion US dollars, and divide that by 26 route kilometers, and that'll get you, I think, the number you're looking for. If you want to take out the cost of the station, in fact, that number is also in various government papers. But I'd like to raise a couple of points. The first point is most high-speed, in fact, virtually all high-speed rail networks and rail lines would be above ground. This is one, the whole of the our express rail link is underground, station and tunnels, and that's because of topography in Hong Kong as well as our geography here. Obviously, building underground is going to cost a lot more than building above ground. So that's one key factor. We are, secondly, building the largest underground rail station in West Kowloon. That is a humongous structure, you know, 3 or 4 million square feet underground. That is an expensive construction project. Thirdly, there is, as I mentioned, the shortage of labor in Hong Kong. The shortage of labor in Hong Kong has driven up construction costs significantly. If one looks at government's construction cost index from 2010 to 2014, there was something like a 50-60% increase, and that's general across the board. There were some trades which have gone up significantly more than that. So I think all those factors have combined to result in a latest cost estimate for the express rail link, which is $84.42 billion.
Keith.
We've seen rapid growth in private car ownership in Hong Kong in the last few years. Does that have the potential over the medium term to erode your base, and to what extent is MTR starting to get involved or raise its voice in government deliberations on car usage questions? For example, since you're also a big property owner, do you have a view on whether parking rates should go up significantly? New York City would be the equivalent of adding about $100 Hong Kong a day in taxes on parking rates. Where do you stand on the automotive portion of the issue?
Not an expert on cars, not an expert on non-public transport at all. I think our view is very simple, which is that government in all their policy addresses and statements have indicated that they want to see rail as the backbone of public transport, something which we very much support. Now, as an indication of that, I mentioned that over the last six or seven or eight years, our passenger volumes, our passenger numbers have gone up 30%. And during that period, I don't really have the statistics for the car population, but the private car population may also have gone up. What that would indicate to me is that the metro mass transit here in Hong Kong is something which particularly commuters are very fond of, and we continue to see passenger volume increases.
We had a question right here.
Hi, Rodney Lloyd, I'm here on a personal capacity. Just on the topic of passenger convenience or indeed inconvenience, I just want to know what MTR plans to do with regard to improving facilities for disabled or those with parents with strollers or people with wheelchairs, especially with, could be for the new upcoming stations or even for the existing ones, because just visibly seeing some of the passengers, especially those in wheelchair, painfully going down stairs on the escalator, taking a very long time, is quite hard to watch. So I'm just curious.
Yeah. At MTR, we are doing whatever we can to make access for everyone in the community much easier. We're putting new and more lifts in our stations, but of course, as you can imagine, there are constraints, mainly because of where a number of those stations are located. Where we can and where we can put in mobility devices, that could be stair lifts, that could be normal lifts, we are and continue to do that. Our colleagues also, when they're in the stations, when there are people who may need help, they help to the maximum extent they can. So it's both in terms of hardware, where we continue, and this is a continuation of process, where we continue the process of making access through stair lifts, through lifts, et cetera, where possible. We continue to enhance that, and through the work that our colleagues do to help people who are perhaps who need more assistance in moving around in our stations or getting into our trains. Sorry, let me just get rid of this.
Further questions from the audience? Anyone?
I thought it was only an Apple car.
Hello, Tom Holland from GavCal Research. Seeing as you so elegantly ducked Tara's questions about traffic projections, I'll leave the Express Link alone. But I believe there are proposals to build a second line along the north shore of Hong Kong Island. You didn't mention those at all. Is that project even feasible, or is that just in the foreseeable future?
In fact, you're absolutely right. Let's talk about that. And that is embodied in a thing called RDS, Rail Development Strategy 2014. In RDS 2014, which as the name suggests, was put out by government in 2014, there were effectively seven new rail projects. These would be rail projects that would be beyond the four that we're building. So these would be beyond our Rail Gen 2.0. They may become Rail Gen 3.0. Very excited about that. If one looks at the seven projects, one of the seven projects is exactly the one that you mentioned, which is called the North Island Line. That, you can say, is a parallel line to the Island Line on the northern shores of Hong Kong Island. But beyond just that line, seven projects. Of the seven projects, four of them are proposed to be new rail lines. There would be an extension of our South Island Line. Recall that our South Island Line East is only the eastern section. There would be a western section that would then connect Wan Chuk Hang back into the heavy rail network on the Island Line, likely around University Station. There would be the North Island Line, which is the parallel line on the northern shores of Hong Kong Island. There would be the East Kowloon line that goes into Po Lam from Diamond Hill area. There would be the so-called Northern Link, which links the West Rail with East Rail, another way for commuters or others to get from the western part of the New Territories on West Rail to Lok Ma Chau, let's say. And then on top of that, those are the four lines. On top of that, there are two new extensions. One extension is of our Tung Chung line into a place called Tung Chung West, where government intends to put in more housing. Another is an extension of West Rail from the current Tuen Mun station to an extension right to the coast by Tuen Mun. And then there is the potential to build one more station. So that's really the seven new rail projects. Yes, this would likely start, and government have done their consultation, so we're still waiting for further discussions with government. But this will be beyond the four lines and the four projects that are currently being undertaken today in terms of construction works. It will not be easy, but then the engineering on all our lines is never easy. I'll tell you a story about the engineering that has taken place on the South Island line, which, as you know, the terminal station is Admiralty. To make that the terminal station, we have to extend Admiralty Station quite significantly. And the only way to extend that is to the east side of Admiralty Station, near Harcourt Gardens. The complexity of that construction, when one is digging up rocks and expanding that station below the operating island line. That's what has happened. And that large chunk of that is built because we aim to open that line towards the end of this year. That is also very complex engineering. So complex engineering, yes, but I think we at MTR and our project teams have significant experience in overcoming these challenges.
Complex engineering in what is a seemingly complex time. We're just about to go on to 2 o'clock. So Lincoln Leung, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today. We have a small gift from the FCC.
You.
We'll hope you come back and join us for a pint sometime.
I will do
with
that.
Your club tie on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we wish you a good day.
Take care.
Very interesting.